Well, I'm going to see if I can cause a international incident, and that is, I'm going to say Brazil can kiss my shiny metal ass. We're trying to get a visa, tourist visa. I've never gone through as much crap for any visa to any country.
Do you know why that is?
Because you do it to us.
No. No, seriously. The reason is because when you introduced the ETSI program, Brazil was the only person, the only place that pushed back and said, right, you've got to do exactly the same then. And Brazil has got an exemption on the ETSI program as a result of it. And you are suffering because you screwed. And the rest of the world should have done the same to you, because actually the ETSI program and the entry into the US is absolute bunkum. It's crap.
Yeah, you have to apply.
You don't stop terrorism. All you do is stop decent people, and it pisses the rest of the world off. So I'm a good person. I like the US. Don't get me wrong. Your food's great, even though it makes me fat. But your entry system's shit. There we go. I'm
not complaining with you, or complaining. Not contradicting you here. I agree.
It's going to be
a screwed up system.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we've put the world to rights as far as Etsy's concerned, and it's a shit system, but there we go. We're here to discuss the week in Apple. It's been a huge week in Apple because, of course, we had a keynote. And if you didn't listen to the keynote show, you should have done, because it was absolutely brilliant. We had a great time. I love the keynote, I have to say. But tonight could be a bit of a non-fanboy zone, I have to say. There are things that I'm willing to say that if you're a fanboy, you may not want to hear. And by the end of tonight, Doc could have had a heart attack, and Patrice may feel like invading Poland. So so I'd back away if I were you. Just, this may not be the podcast for you, that's all I'm saying. Joining me to discuss the debacle in Apple, the week in Apple, my mistake, top left, it's Dot Rock. No, that's the wrong person. I've clicked the wrong frigging person. Dot Rock, how the devil are you, mate?
Just get your knickers ready, because I am absolutely pissed at Apple. And really want to bitch slap somebody.
Know that if Doc Rock says he's annoyed at you, that you've made some serious serious errors.
Yeah, it was not good. It was very un-Apple like.
I've got to say, Doc,
you know when you date that hot bird, right? And like, to your mind, this is the hottest bird you ever dated. Now, you married yours, but the rest of us, we kept going, you know? And I'm like, man, this is epic. My friends are like, I can't believe
marry Karen because she was the hottest bird?
No. And then all of a sudden...
You have to correct that, dude, because she listens.
She just rips like a loud, like, three cheeseburger and beer one in public. That's what Apple just did.
That's right up there with where were you when Kennedy was shot.
Pretty much.
Jesus Christ, Doc is upset. Moving on. I can't even comprehend that. Steve Sandy on the planet of the sun, where are you, mate?
Where am I?
Well, how are
I'm
you?
I'm doing just fine
I'm absolutely thrown, mate.
How many are you?
How many am I? Hell, I don't know. I just got off of another podcast, got onto this, and as soon as I'm done with this, I've got another one. So it's a fun day.
I hope you're not planning on this finishing on time.
Hell no, I know too well.
Yeah, too right. And last but by no means least, Patrice Brendamore, how the devil are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm crazy as always. I mean, it has been a crazy week. I have no beef with Apple because I ordered my stuff, so I will be very quiet during this discussion, I'm guessing.
What time did you order your stuff?
Probably 9:01-ish here, which was a minute after it went online.
So let's just start off with the obvious then, chaps. I ordered my stuff at 8:08. Okay, and the reason I ordered it at 8:08, and you're going, well, you and that's tardy, mate. You should have been there far sooner than that. The application on both the iPad and the iPhone would not show anything other than bugger off, mate. It wouldn't refresh to anything. And also the Safari on phone and iPad wouldn't refresh to the store. I ended up having to get out my MacBook Air, and I ordered it from my MacBook Air at 8:08. And I must have had 15 attempts at trying to order up to that point. Okay. And I've got to say, I was going to try and start something positive, but stuff it. What a frigging screw up. It is the worst launch I have ever seen from Apple. And all of you are going to go, oh, well, but demand was unprecedented. I'm sorry. They've been making this thing for 9 years. They can't work out how much it is. They've got the master of supply chain, allegedly, as the CEO, and they can't make enough units. Sorry. They know exactly what you do.
It's not even the making of units, because I'm cool with it being limited at a certain point, but it's the stupid stuff. Like, I'm not even part of that upgrade program. I bought my phone outright.
Yep,
but to just watch, I was going to enter the upgrade program. I thought about it, or just to, you know, having, like, first of all, it said 12 o'clock, right, to us. So it was 12:06 before I got anything to even say the store is active. Like, they all kept saying, no, the store is closed. It took me almost 6 minutes to get a store. And then once I got a store, I had it going on my phone and my iPad. And it was like, no, all these are sold out already. I'm like, how do you let me be in a store for literally 30-something seconds? And then you're telling me, nope, sold out, sold out, sold out. And I'm like, really? Only thing I could get was rose gold, which I already got. And I just kind of wanted to change up my phone. And I don't know. It's really stupid. And the lawsuit... I normally think suits against Apple are just wrong. This lawsuit is right up there. It's absolutely perfect. Because you don't tell people that they're going to be able to be in some kind of upgrade program. If anything, they should have been able to order the day before out of brand loyalty.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, this is absolute BS. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen from a company of that power and that skill and that magnitude.
As for those of you who want to write in and complain, it's docrock@gmail.com. Don't be sending that shit to me.
No, you can send it to me. I use same box to go right in the trash, but send it to me anyway, you a-hole.
No, but I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't agree with the lawsuit. I don't think that's the right thing, but you're right. I mean, the thing with the upgrade program, I heard from you and from Jerry that you couldn't get it, and it basically told you, yeah, there's no stock available at all. Or you have to go to the store to even do anything, and you can't do that till, I don't know, next week or Christmas. So I get that, and I agree with you. I mean, for a company that has been doing this for not even, I mean, 9 years with the iPhone, and even before that with more products, the store should be stable at this point, and the stock should be big enough that at least it lasts at least an hour. I mean, if it's an hour or two later, yeah, okay.
I just
cover the store stability. Who owns the biggest data center of any company in the world?
Google? Apple? Amazon?
Yeah, so no, Apple.
Amazon.
How the hell does it work? How the hell does it not work? How do you own the biggest data center in the freaking planet? You bought five more last year, and you still can't process an order for a freaking phone?
Well, so there's a lot of people who've given me a lot of grief. Apple Watcher on Twitter has given me a lot of crap, and I've retorted somewhat vociferously. But I have to say, the thing that annoys me the most is the fact that people take this kind of stuff and spin it. You know, there are rampant fanboys out there. The minute Phil Schiller says, it's time to move on, it's time to be courageous. And all they say to me are the words move on and courageous, because they're just repeating the shit that's come out of this bloke's mouth. And I don't disagree with them taking away the 3.5 mil jack. I do see a lot of merit in it, but I'd rather they were honest. And I can't stand the people that just repeat it. And when it comes to the ordering, the thing that really annoys me the most is, you have the master of supply chain. You've been doing this for 9 years. Okay, when you were screwing around with us and going, do you know what? Oh, the demand is unprecedented. That was fine up until about year 6 or 7. But it's got a bit tiresome last year. And this year, it's really got frigging boring. Because I'm sorry, you know how many people are ordering. Don't tell me that Apple don't have focus groups that say, do you prefer the white or the rose gold? Or do you prefer the gold? Or do you prefer the black or the jet black? They've all gone out and done that already. And they still don't have enough. And I think the reason they don't have enough is because Tim's doubled down on security, so therefore they haven't produced as many as early as they possibly could to try and avoid security issues. And guess what? We saw the back of that 6 Plus 6 months ago. So Tim, you're talking shit. Do apologise. But I'm sorry, mate. It's time to move on from the demand's unprecedented. It's bollocks. You haven't produced enough. You were woefully short, and you've screwed everyone.
Well, you know, see, here's one of the things that kind of chaps my nads, right? I pretty much don't have any problem with any decisions that they made design-wise. It's on them, right? Even the people that say, oh, they got rid of the jack so that you have to... The dumb one I heard was they got rid of the jack so that Square and all these other readers don't work, so you have to use Apple Pay. And I was like, no, dummy, because all the rest of them have have touch... Like, Square has a touch reader, PayPal has a touch reader, QuickBooks has a touch reader. That's a dumb, like, little story. But, you know, whatever their reasons are for trying to make money, that's what businesses do, dummy. They try to make money. I don't care about that. I don't care if they yanked everything possible and redesigned the phone so that they can make the most money in the world. But if you're making the most money in the world, then let people who want to buy what you're making buy it. That's the part that's dumb. Like, all of the whining and crying about the jack and all of that stuff, that's idiotic. I mean, businesses are supposed to make money. They do have shareholders to answer to. They will forever be beholden to those shareholders. But, like, not letting something as simple as a simple order process for a phone work is kind of crazy. Telling people last year that they can be in this upgrade program and not allowing them to get their phone when they are your loyal fans. They gave you all of this money. That's the part that's egregious. That is super, super, super egregious. Yeah. And, you know, some people are like, oh, no, they're purposely holding on so they can have a launch or they can, you know, try to show demand. I'm like, that's your, you think like that because you run a shitty business. No regular business does that crap on purpose. That's dumb. That's old school thinking and that's victim thinking. That's not what they did. They just ain't able to make the phone like Ewan said. And then that part is stupid.
Or didn't want to make it.
I got no words. I got no words.
Well, I have to agree with Doc and Paul Dixon out in the chat. You know, the people who are in the upgrade program, and that includes me, I just joined. In fact, that added maybe 10, 15 minutes onto the process of getting my phone ordered. But they are the most loyal customers. They're the people who go out, they get the new phone every year. They thought, hey, since I'm buying it anyway, maybe I'll go ahead and do this. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think they jerked everybody around. I'm perfectly happy to see that lawsuit that's probably going to get thrown out. But, you know, these are the people that go out, get it. Their friends know that they're going to get the new phone the first day. And to screw them over like that is horrible. It's really, it's not something Apple should be doing.
So to be clear, the lawsuit is based around Apple favoring new customers over loyal customers going for the upgrade program. But I'm a loyal customer in inverted commas because I went to the Windows system, so I'm not loyal particularly.
I would say.
I'm loyal with a question mark. Okay, but... But the lawsuit is specifically about them favoring people who are buying the phone outright rather
I wouldn't say favoring. I think it's, you know, people expected that being part of this program, that all they would need to do is go in the day of the actual physical launch, the hot launch, whatever you want to call it, walk into the store, trade over or hand over their old phone, get their new phone, and walk out. And instead they were getting... some people were getting reservation days like 6-7 days down the road, and I think that's just not right.
I mean, my feeling here is that basically Apple is throwing those people into the pile of, I mean, the other people are ordering and are ordering for pickup, so there's no special reservation or special budget or whatever you want to call it in the Apple store just for those people. So you're basically thrown in the pile, and because the process is a little bit longer for you because you have to probably sign in or something, it has to be verified that you are in the upgrade program. That's longer, so you're even further back in the pile, in the line than you would be. It's just stupid.
Well, and since they know how many people are in the upgrade program, why not put aside enough phones for the people in the upgrade program and let them make their reservations well in advance? I mean, come on, Apple. You know, it's...
Even if you assumed 100% was going to do it, which is next to impossible, we do know that. The number might probably be like 20 to 30 to 50%. There's no such things as you produced too much iPhones and they don't sell in this early in the cycle. So if you know, let's just say, for instance, I'm going to make the number super small so it's easy to calculate. Let's say you have 1 million people in the upgrade program. Then you build 1 million phones almost identical to what you have with a couple variations in cover and about 20% pad. And then within the first half an hour of ordering, you realize, okay, only 30% of those people ordered. Then you can release and say, okay, here's a second release batch. Yep. All the people who are really ready, were ready to jump on, jump on. And the way you do that is based off a scenario that I know people are going to say isn't directly connected, but it's an idea. When you order FIFA or Madden or any of the EA Sports games, if you own the version before, you get it 5 days earlier than the next version that's coming out if you are part of the EA access thing. Because you are proving your loyalty by being a person who's constantly buying these games and registering your games properly, being active in the forums, whatever. So, like, the new FIFA comes out on the 29th. I got my code for the new game already, and they say it will automatically download to your Xbox 5 days in advance. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you do that, then you still can hit your regular launch, and you would still know what's going on. And to Bob's point in the chat room about, Bob said forecasting the demand is kind of hard. Not really, because all you got to do is once you know what you decide you're going to make, which is probably like August, then you can say, here's a general idea of what's possibly coming in the phone. Who thinks that they'll probably buy one? Kind of like a poll or a survey, and then adjust your numbers accordingly. Doc, like, it can be done.
Yeah, you don't even have to do that. I mean, one, it's a pre-order. So, I mean, they now know at least a week in advance how many, and then I mean they can guess based on last year and just take a percentage of that and say, okay, this many will probably do it in week one and so on. You can forecast that. It's not, it's not
rocket science. Do the pre-orders in August so you have a whole month to make the freaking phone.
Or that. And I want to make one point to Steve's point that they should just reserve for the upgrade program. I don't think that would be fair. I think they should reserve at least some percentage and say, I don't know, 10, 20, 30% should be reserved. And then take it out of the pile, but I think otherwise it wouldn't be fair to the people who don't want to be on the upgrade program or don't have or can't be for some reason. Let's take a percentage, put that aside, and if we need more, we can always put it in, but not guarantee everybody on day one an iPhone, because I don't think that would be fair.
So hang on. The one thing I would say is that if you're talking about the fact that you produce something on a bi-yearly cycle, you would expect that based on the fact that all of the carriers are carrying 24-month contracts, your minimum purchase requirement is probably going to be that of the six. So six plus are your minimum order run. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no way at 4 minutes past eight on that morning, 8 minutes past eight in my case, I'm out to October. Yeah. There's no way you have reserved six and six plus sales for upgrade. That is woefully short. Woefully short.
I mean,
and it's not funny anymore. It's not about the fact that you're playing a game whereby you make your product look better. This is the largest firm in the world. This is the richest firm in the world who's been producing a product for 9 years and cannot get it right. Wake up, fanboys.
It's already where it is. Like, that concept is dumb. The concept of they're doing this sandbagging in order to try to make a product look better doesn't actually make sense to me. And if it's going on, then I'll eat my words. But I just don't think that they're that, like, dolty. But you're right. There's no reason this long in the tooth that they can't have this crap wired by now.
Yeah. How many phones have they sold in the first weekend last year? I think it was 10 million. Is that right? Or 15?
Yeah, and it's over 14 now.
That number and say, okay, we expect.
But that was short as well, though.
At least 15 million phones this quarter. Let's pre-produce that.
That was short as well.
You take that number, add 20%. That's a good answer. The 15 million, you bring it out to 18 million, walk away. There's no such thing as you're going to have extra. And by the time, and you know, some people don't even go down until December because they got their phones at Christmas. And they sold millions during Christmas. So even if you padded it knowing that, okay, we're going to have extra for like 2 months. It's just,
Four to 6 weeks is their target. And they should be able to predict that.
You know, right, that there is a bloke at Apple called Colin who does prediction.
Called Colin,
who does prediction algorithms for purchase sales. And Colin's life is entirely based around an Excel spreadsheet, or a numbers spreadsheet, of course, based around purchase requirements. And he sends that figure right the way up the supply chain to people who go, this is how many I'm predicting we're going to need. Mm. And yeah. Someone goes, tell you what, stuff Colin, let's just order 10% of that, eh?
Yeah, I mean, the only, and Deepan basically just mentioned that the only thing I can see is that it's hard, probably harder to predict what the percentages are on the different models. I mean, how many will buy the black one and how many will buy 256 versus 128? But you can guess. I mean, we have now 9 years of knowledge about that, and you can guess. And you might be wrong. And
you with the colors. Like, we were cool when they only came in two colors. Actually, we were cool when they were in one color. You guys gave us two, and then you went from giving us two to giving us six. That's your fault. You should have just left it as it was.
And even then, they should. I mean, they might be wrong. And, I mean, we've seen that in the past, that they sometimes are wrong about the mix. But they should at least get the ballpark right. And 8 minutes, and in 8 minutes, really, I think everything was sold out. That doesn't sound like
But see, Patrice, you knew that colors were an issue way back in Tangerine iMac, right? Yeah. Whenever you went to a store, and it was my favorite color, and I actually own two of them craps. But you got to know that when it came time for that bubble iMac to die, the one thing they had left over is 20% more Tangerine iMacs than any other iMacs, that and the Paisley one. So they've known for 20 freaking years what happens when you try to get cute with colors, and some colors you just will eat it on. But they got the money to eat it. They actually can afford to eat it, so I don't care about that.
I just want to talk as well a little bit about preferential treatment, because I know for a fact that René Richards orders his at the same time as everyone else did. And I don't know how, but René got his yesterday.
Oh, all the depressed people. Marcus finally got his. A lot of depressed people who are of a certain ilk, they got theirs.
Those that bum Apple. Is that what you're saying?
No, because there's a couple guys that are pretty evil to Apple that still get their phone early.
No. René Richie bums Apple. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
He's up there with Mossberg. Jesus Christ. If his tongue was any further up... no, I better stop there, because otherwise I'm going to get sued. I'm sorry. How the hell does René Richie order with everyone else and get it yesterday? Tim, answer that anytime you fancy, eh? Come on the show.
The one he got. Trust me. The one that he ordered, he'll still get. He got the press one yesterday. Marcus got his yesterday, and a couple other guys on YouTube, the YouTubers, the Unbox, even the Unbox Therapy idiot who always does dumb stuff, this phone got his yesterday. Those are the press ones.
He'll where's Steve Sandys?
Is mine?
Where is Steve Sandys? He's a proper journalist. He's an engineer.
Not out for delivery. That's
no,
for
I'm sorry.
Sure.
I misspoke there. Steve's an engineer who happens to be a proper journalist as well as. So, because he told that to me in a tweet when he was pissed off at me. Where's yours, Steve?
I could look it up right now and see where UPS has it, but
it's not here. It's not in my hand.
iMore hasn't got the word Apple in its title, but you're Apple World Today, and you don't have it.
They screw me over anyway.
I don't get invited to events either. So
because you don't say nice stuff about them.
Yeah, I do. I'm always nice to them. I'm too nice to them.
I bet you the old guys we used to work with, the kids that didn't get it, they probably got theirs too already. You know what I mean? Like, because they got that Kiss Butt swagger and
The Engadget and TechCrunch folks who always got the invitations that was strictly Apple, never got invited to.
Moving on. Sorry, fellas. We need to be objective and move on.
BuzzFeed got one. Do you believe that? BuzzFeed, the people of listicles of testicles, got their phone yesterday.
The top 10 best testicles.
Moving on. So the other thing is, I've got a few contacts kicking around Apple in various places, and all of them are telling me at the moment that, in fact, one of them, I texted him today and I said, so should I turn up tomorrow and just hang around at the store? Maybe I'll get one. And he hasn't even replied, which to me is like, I can't tell you that you're barking up the wrong tree, mate, here. There is nothing at the store anymore. And I think Angela Arendt has got it entirely wrong. From the Apple Watch forwards, she has stopped lines at the store because maybe it doesn't look too classy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm sorry. Those were the days. Those were the days when Apple got free press because the TV turned up to look at the brand new Apple Watch, and there was lines around the park, and no one cared if they didn't get an Apple Watch because they turned up, and no one cared if they turned up and didn't get a phone or an iPad because they turned up and they just wanted the buzz that went around it. And I'm sorry, Steve Jobs is turning his graves, because that's what the store was about. The store was about getting people down to the store and creating a buzz and a vibe and an atmosphere. It didn't matter if you were at number one in the list or not. You were still there. And now it's all reservations. And if you're not on the reservations list, you can't come in. I'm sorry, Angela. You are fudging this up completely.
I think Angela has gone to way too many clubs where, you know, she's managed to be on the A-list and she's got invited in immediately. And, you know, Apple, like you said, it used to be about community. You know, you'd go there, you'd meet people in line and become instant friends. You know, there are some of those people I still am in contact with, who I was in the line with for the original iPhone. So that's quite a few years, you know, and that's gone now. You know, like you said, you don't see the tremendous lines for I like D-Pan's comment, Apple stores will now have a red velvet rope barrier outside. You know, it's almost getting that back.
There's a comment here that says Apple don't need the free press anymore. And I'm sorry.
Every company needs free press.
Every company needs all the press it can possibly get.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, you know, Tim, one of the things that I can tell you I know for a fact happened from when I worked at Apple is GGP, which is the malls that they run the malls that most of the Apple stores in. They got so many complaints and threatened lawsuits from like these little mom and pop shops that would be stuck next to Apple that the people would block the doors. But instead of seeing that here's an opportunity for bored people to come and check out my store for a few hours, a lot of them complained about it because the lady that owned the bikini shop next to ours here in Hawaii, that was her. And I used to go over there and try to tell her, like, while these people are standing in line, I have literally watched hundreds of ladies walk in and look at bikinis and whatever is why they're standing there with their husbands or just standing for themselves.
The cost of buying
ours. You can't say it's not good for you. The cost of coffee. Of the stores were smart, like Williams and Sonoma would bake brownies and Starbucks would bring us tea, and they would take that as an opportunity. But other stores were complaining, so I think part of it has to do with that too.
So the cost of coffee.
Buy a bikini?
The cost of coffee.
I would buy a bikini, Miller, because I have game and I have lots of female friends and I do stuff like that. You spell bikini B-I-K-I-N-I. Not bikini, it's bikini, as in two pieces, as in the Latin word bi for two.
Easy, steady on, mate. Keep it focused. Stay on Apple. So Costa Coffee used to make a fortune because they'd come down with all their shit Americano stuff and everyone would go, oh, I'm sorry, mate, is there a latte? And he went, I can go and get you one. And you'd give them the £2.50. They'd go and get you a latte and they'd bring it back. And they sold everyone in the line a latte because no one wanted the Americano. And it was, the Americano was free. It was on Apple, but no one wanted it. But Costa sold coffee, like Billy-O.
Yeah.
I think there's a real problem. They really need to say it. Anyway, moving on. The chat room's complaining, or Magic Man's complaining anyway, at least, about we're not talking about the releases. So WatchOS 3, that's come out this week, and it's updated on the phone. I've got to say, all of the iOS stuff updates that I've seen, I haven't had any issues at all. It's been, oh, shit. Doc, have you had issues? Oh, okay, moving on. I've had no issues at all. Everything's worked just fine. Has everyone else had the same fruitful experience?
My watch is
awesome.
Okay, so watch is awesome. Do you like the new watch or not?
I didn't pick up the new watch until tomorrow, but
OS 3.
Yeah, it's awesome. You can tell it's faster. Siri behaves a lot better. It took some getting used to the dock, you know, what the dock does now compared to before. But I mean, I've had it long enough now that I'm used to it.
Yeah, once you get it, it's actually way better than the glances and anything else ever was.
Well, no, okay. So here's a question mark. So I think the swipe up is great because it gives you your dashboard there. What I think they've missed a trick on is that the swipe left and right is wrong, because if you change your face, you probably change it on a weekly basis or a whim basis, which is like a month or something. Like, oh, I fancy a change, month to daily. 3 months. But no, you don't. Yeah, but even if you change it daily,
I do it at least 2 or 3 times a day.
Okay, so you're an idiot then. So
yeah, might be.
I love you to bits, Patrice, but you're an idiot if you change your watch face three times a day, for Christ's sake.
Let me explain. I have 2 watch faces. I have one for the office with my calendars and so on, and I have the activity one when I'm at home. And I switch at least in the morning to the office one, and usually in the afternoon or evening.
You said 3.
No, I said at 3 times, because sometimes during lunch I will switch to the
Okay. But my point would be that if you look at this, I can switch through every face that Apple can possibly give me, left and right, and I'm sitting thinking, hang on, I could have far more information available to me through that swipe than that. That's a waste, because faces is not a thing. If you change faces, if you said, okay, well, you can do a left swipe to change between 3 faces and then go back, okay, I'm fine with that. That would satisfy Patrice and it would satisfy me. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about the fact I can swipe through every single possible face that's available on the Apple Watch by doing left and right. That nullifies an awful lot of opportunities for swipes for information that you could have had. I think that's really bad.
You're right. I mean, that I have to agree with that.
There's so much more information that could be there. A right swipe to then choose between 3 faces I'm good with, but the rest I just don't think is valid.
Or have, I mean, we've always had the thing where you can just do the force touch press and then switch. Would be okay, because you said it. I mean, even I don't switch every minute.
No,
but
exactly.
Swiping or information, I might do way more often than that.
If you look at ergonomics, ergonomics will tell you about primary accessibility and secondary accessibility. And I'm sorry, but the watch face is secondary accessibility, but the interface is the way that they've described it is primary. I've got to say, though, hands up for Scribble. I fudging love Scribble. Scribble is the bomb. Scribble is the best thing Apple have ever done in my book. Well, okay, but yes.
It don't work.
Scribble works awesome on the watch.
Scribble's amazing.
Scribble's amazing on the watch.
Scribble is very cool.
I love it. I mean, the character recognition is beyond anything that I've ever seen on hand-scribbled character recognitions.
It did work. Mm-hmm. I didn't get your Scribble.
It did work.
Not on my...
I forgot to put spaces in, but that's user error.
No, I didn't get Scribble. It said set by Scribble.
Okay. No, I sent set by Scribble, and then I put a thing above, which I didn't put spaces in. But I love Scribble. I think Scribble, they've got that absolutely right. Love it to bits.
It's pretty amazing how fast it is, too, as far as they're recognizing.
Yeah.
But definitely on the complications thing, that is just crazy. Like, I set my watch up so it only shows me 3 instead of, like, 50. But the whole concept of, like, using that as a way to swipe instead of letting you go between the apps that I have active, kind of like the dock thing, or even the glances or something. Like, I just don't understand that, and hopefully there'll be enough complaining that in the software update they can move it around and it'll go away. It won't require a full rewrite. I think it's a small update for them, and hopefully there's enough outrage from the beginning of the next watch that it kind of just goes as one of those dumb decisions. And they're pretty good at fixing their dumb decisions. Except for pre-orders.
Just hold on 1 second, because apparently we've got a bit of a non-responsive application here. Save. Oh, it's Colloquy that's gone off.
Yeah, for me too.
Colloquy servers have just fallen over. They found out that Doc was slagging off Apple, so everyone's piled in the chat room.
No, two words for you. Textual, period. That's the best one out there.
We'll start again. No worries.
Jeff, send me a check.
Excellent. what do we think to iOS 10 in general on the phone? Notifications I quite like. Muller says he doesn't like them because they're a bit intrusive, and I see that, but I'm okay with it. I think they had to struggle with making it look a bit different, and I'm not sure they've actually done that. But I actually quite like the home open and so the phone is now open, but I'm still on my lock screen, and then I can swipe left or right to get additional features, or I can just carry on pressing to get the phone open. There's a lot of people complaining about that, and they want to go back to the old system, but actually, I really like that. Muller's expressed his opinion. He says it's shit. So, but I think I actually quite like that.
I love the new system. It took me a couple of days to get used to it when I first installed the beta way back when. But now it's so normal, I don't even think about it. And when I pick up a phone that's not running 10, over the last month of the beta or so, I was like, it would actually mess me up because you got so used to the new way. And notifications, in a way, is better because you can do so much more to customize them to see what you want, when you want, and how you want. And I love the pick up the phone and swipe right.
Yeah, I've heard from a few of my non-techie friends, I've heard complaints about the notification center that they say it just looked better before. It was probably wasn't as dense and as information, and just they don't like it as much.
That's a sketchy risk.
Well, tell them they should have went to interface design school instead of complaining on the internet school.
No, I just told them, you get used to it.
Apparently, Duck put his head in his hands not because of what I was saying, but actually because of the fact that Manchester United are 1-0 down against Feyenoord.
Did you guys shut up already?
You don't want to know the result?
I'm watching it.
Yeah, I know you're watching the game, which is why you should know the fact that it's happening.
I know, but I'm just saying, we're on our way back. We're in a box. Relax.
Okay.
We got 15 minutes.
Okay. Sorry. What do you think to the new Watch 2 then? Good, bad, indifferent, not the full thing, or a decent upgrade? Because I've got to say, I'm a bit lost. I've got OS 3 on my phone for Watch, and it didn't improve heart rate recognition. What actually improved heart rate recognition was me taking my watch off and turning it round the other way so it's on the underside. And then putting it back in, and it's amazing how many actual thingies it takes less than to put that on. But if I put it on my underside of my arm, I get much, much better heart rate recognition, which I'm putting down to being a fat bastard. But that's my issue in Apple with some credit there, perhaps. And I was copying to a certain degree the Microsoft band, which that's the natural position for the Microsoft band. So. But that improved. But that said, it still didn't recognise my heart rate any better if it was on the top. So,
I mean, for me, because I'm a runner and I just like to use the Apple Watch for a lot of sport things, the Apple Watch 2 is really interesting. I mean, I basically the minute they said GPS, they had me. Wasn't even thinking about anything else.
See, now here's go on.
No, so definitely I'm gonna pick up one, but I kind of reserve judgment until I actually see how much better it works with the built-in GPS. Because I mean, outside of that and the speed, you know, it's not necessarily you got to jump on it right away.
No.
You know, I was all excited as I was, you know, listening to the announcement or whatever. It's mostly just because of the GPS and the idea of not necessarily leaving the phone at home, but like leaving the phone at the car, or if I'm riding a bike, I can put it in a bag and then just use a lot more with my watch and know that it'd be more accurate and sort of more functional. So I you know, we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why tomorrow? In case you get the phone.
That's when he's getting it.
He's not getting the phone.
Yeah. No.
Are you getting the watch tomorrow?
The watch is at the store tomorrow as the 16th. Yeah. That's what it said.
Okay.
I didn't pre-order one because I didn't see the need to, because last year, all of that hassle and pre-ordering and not getting the color I want, and you could just roll in the store and pick them up.
So the thing that bothers me is the fact that the Apple Watch hasn't changed ostensibly in terms of size. I mean, it's a fraction thicker maybe, I think, from some of the reports that I've seen. But the battery, now, if you'd have spoken to me 2 weeks ago, I'd have said, I don't think battery's going to be an issue, because regularly at night time, I put mine on the stand and it's 60% on battery power, so it's not going to be an issue. But having spoken to a few people, and Muller included on this, they're saying that that's okay, but once you start turning on GPS, the battery is hammered. I mean, it is mega hammered. And they are saying that the existing battery, because they didn't mention anything about battery on the watch, if they are going to try and run the current battery with GPS on it, there's a serious opportunity for them to actually have real battery issues with the end of the day.
I mean, it will depend on how much power efficient the rest of the watch actually is.
Well, I think GPS is going to be a real test.
I agree. I mean, as I said, even on the iPhone, I mean, the same thing starts to burn up when you use GPS. So, yeah.
Well, speaking from his own experience, Muller's told me about the Microsoft Band, and I'm aware that's not a comparable device necessarily because of the size of the screen and that kind of stuff, but if you turn the GPS on the Microsoft Band, it absolutely hammers the battery.
Five hours.
So normally the Microsoft Band 2 will last 2 days, full stop, with Bluetooth on and nothing else. You tick the GPS on, it'll last 5 hours max, and that's how badly it affects devices.
Yeah.
Is that translatable across to the watch?
I think, I mean, if Apple is smart, they might do something, and that might not turn out that great, but they might try to, I don't know, only ping the GPS every couple of seconds or half a minute or something. And that might turn out not to be great because then accuracy is missing. But we'll see. I will try it and we'll see.
Yeah,
well, that's one of the reasons I kind of waited on getting the Apple Watch 2. I've got the original. I like it with OS 3 on it. But I kind of had two concerns. First of all, GPS and battery life. But also, I really, really, really would like to see a device, maybe with an extra battery in the band or something like that, but a device that acts as my phone as well. That's one thing they were talking about with cellular data, and
I was
kind of depressed that they didn't.
Yeah, but the watch, I mean, the phone's bad enough trying to do GPS and cellular data at the same time. You start trying to get the watch to do that, it's on a hiding to nothing. I will give some sympathy to Apple there.
Not yet, anyway.
Well, one of the things that I think is, maybe they didn't highlight the battery because that was the pinpoint the last time, and maybe they thought it was better just not to discuss it and let real life be real life. And that, I guess, sort of in that same ilk, one thing that they're really good at, though, is they're really good at getting some management out of redesigning chips themselves. They have enough chip manufacturers that they've, put money into or bought or however you want to call it, that maybe we're going to just get a better chip than what we know so far. And it's in the phones and then the watch now. So, there's a huge possibility we might get better management. And so Patrice was trying to make that point, but it never came all the way out, that maybe they did some optimization elsewhere in order to make room for the power consumption of the GPS.
Wait and see, mate. Wait and see. Overall, I thought it was a good keynote. I have to say, I thought the keynote was probably one of the best that they've done in recent years. There was some really good stuff in there. I thought the 7 was a really good, the 7 Plus in front of the camera was really, really good. Did you guys feel the same thing? I thought the AirPods were awesome. I've got to say, I'm utterly, utterly sold on the AirPods already.
Well, I'm not sold, but I still like the idea.
What about the 7 and the 7 Plus? Did you guys feel like that was a good upgrade? Because there's a few questions out there that are saying that actually the removal of the jack, they did it on this version as opposed to next year's, because next year's is the 10th anniversary. They wanted to remove any heat at all whatsoever from the 10th anniversary phone. So they did all the contentious stuff here and now.
That's just crazy postulization.
I think that's really logical and good on Apple for doing it.
It's absolutely logical, but it's still a crazy postulization. Like, it's logical because you can, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say cognitive bias. You can make anything sound logical if you want it to be. But I think that a company of their size and their success don't need to do that kind of manini minutia in order to win at a game that they're already winning. Even the idea that they held back so that next year's phone could be somehow super epic, that's just crazy talk. Like, I don't believe that for one second.
No,
I don't care too much about the 10. I mean, that's my feeling.
Well, my thought is hang on. If you were going to say, like, we're going to do something contentious, which is to get rid of the 3.5 mil jack, Let's do it on the one that's not going to get the most publicity. That's a good move. That's a logical, thought-out, well-prepared move. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's decent. I can't criticise Apple for that at all. And I think they've done other stuff in terms of the home button issue, and the 7 is now no longer a press button. It's now just a swipe button, if you like. You know, all of that stuff is contentious. It's gone. By the time we get to 10th anniversary iPhone, that's all done and dusted. It's out of the way. There is no issues to resolve. There's no negative press that can possibly come. I just think that's sensible. I don't have a problem.
No, it is 100% sensible, and I do agree with you on that point. I believe it's sensible if they actually took the time to think of that. I don't think that they have to think that crazy. I think this is an automatic thing that will come up. But, I mean, we don't know. It's just we're both guessing. But I just think when people say stuff like, oh, companies did X, Y, Z in order to not, you know, have everything pink lined up in a row. I think that kind of thinking is just crazy. And that's the way people think. You know, it's kind of like the people that don't trust anyone. Why? Because they're the biggest crooks. I kind of laugh at those. And so a lot of that stuff that I hear when I read it from, I guess it depends on who wrote the article. Because on some articles, when I read that, I'm like, bro, that's just how you think and you're an idiot. And other people write it, and I was like, you know what? Maybe that's a good idea. So I think it could just be the way it was written and who wrote the point. So maybe I don't get it the way you get it because I didn't read the actual line.
Yeah, you know, we will know next year. That's a good thing.
It'd be interesting to see what goes on. So let's talk about the 7 and the 7 Plus.
Are you anybody unhappy about the jack being removed? I've been wanting this to happen for a long time.
Nope. I'm like you.
Okay, so
I don't use it at all.
So here's the one thing that I'll say about the jack. I'm not unhappy seeing the jack removed because I'm okay with going to Bluetooth and I'm okay with the dongle. I have the dongle here. I am currently charging the invisible iPad, which is still running iOS 9 to see if it still works with it. But from what I understood this morning, it runs on any Lightning device. So that nullifies that point. The jack works. And I've bought 5 of them and put them in various places, scrawled them away so that I haven't got to worry too much. So we're sorted.
There are $9, yeah?
£9.
So we heard like 29 and all kind of crazy stuff. $9 is nothing.
That's okay. That's fine. I bought 5 of them. We're done and dusted. The one thing that bothers me about the removal of the jack is I'm okay with it going off the phone, but there's a lot of people talking about, well, is this the thin end of the wedge and now it's going to go off the MacBook Airs? And there is a story out there that Apple will have contacted some MacBook Pro users saying, do you really use the jack? And the one thing they've got to be careful of, the 3.5mm jack is synonymous with every piece of equipment that uses any audio at all across the planet. So my FS5 uses the 3.5mm jack. I am reliant on that for monitoring of what people are saying to me when I'm recording them as an interview. Now, the other week I had to sit and go out and Jack needed to hear the same thing, but Jack's actually holding the microphone and he's 20 yards away from me. And what I did in the end was I set up a Bluetooth dongle so that Jack could wear a set of Bluetooth speakers so he could hear the quality of the audio. I'm not worried about him hearing the synchronization. I want to know that when he moves the boom, he's hearing a different value of sound that he can then record and get the best possible value. The problem that we had was, because of introducing the Bluetooth, that introduced a delay, so Jack wasn't hearing the audio that he was hearing that was being spoken at the same time. And my question is, it's all very well taking it out on a phone, because you don't care whether the music that you're hearing is actually being played at the same rate to you or whether there's latency on it. Whereas if you're talking about people using MacBook Pros, there's a massive kids market of the MacBook and the MacBook Pro that are using it for GarageBand and for iMovie and that kind of stuff. And actually, hang on a second, Patrice.
Yeah.
You try editing a piece of video without an audio jack using a Bluetooth. Because what you're seeing and what you're stopping the slider bar at the right point to do an edit is two completely different things. And that gets pretty annoying pretty quickly, I can promise you. I've had delay on it, so I've done it. And that's the issue.
And delay doesn't help you there because then it delays when you stop.
Yeah.
You could delay. Yeah. I mean, if you're just playing video, you could just delay the video a little bit and it would work fine. But I think that's what they do on the iPhone. But for editing, it doesn't work.
So here's a funny story. When I was fixing these laptops for a living, the one thing that you saw constantly, like way back from the original white plastic iBooks when it first went in, you would always see people bringing their laptops, say, I can't get any sound. There's no sound anywhere. And what would happen is sometimes the flap gate would stay stuck in because the headphone ports on all Macs circa 2007 plus are also the digital out for the toss link. Mm-hmm. And people would get the gate stuck and you see the red light and there's no sound out of the computer. So we used to have drawers upon drawers of these $5, stick it into a USB slot, it turns it automatically into a headphone and a mic output. And that adapter is actually better than any of the ones that you got to stick in the notebook itself. So if they got rid of them, but they gave it along with this $5 thing, I'm cool with that because it actually sounds better anyway. Plantronics used to ship it with every single headphone that they sold. And every gaming headphone that came out anytime in the early 2000s also shipped with one of these little weird-looking dongles. And it's a small dongle. It's not big. And Turtle Beach used to sell it as a premium kit, you know. So if they're going to switch it to something like that, I'm down. I agree with you. I never really liked the ones that...
But is there delay, though? Is there delay?
No, there's no delay. No delay whatsoever. Because what this is a USB DAC, and then you just plug it in and you automatically connect it, but there's no delay whatsoever. That's why all the gaming headphones came with it.
Yeah, but there are two things
here. When you see it, you know what I'm talking about.
There are two things here. One is that's fine, but then I need an extra port for it. So I need an extra port on the device. And the other question then I would have is, what's the port? Is it Lightning or is it USB? I mean, if you think about Lightning headphones.
Yeah, so if they take it out and they put Lightning on the computer, then it's well worth it because that Lightning port can do way more than just the headphone port. You know what I mean? And then the dongle that Ewan already has eight of now will still work. So I'm okay with them yanking it from a notebook as long as they give another option. If they yank it, just yank it. That's pretty much ignorant.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the other issue with that is I think Lightning and USB-C look very similar.
What do you mean they're not very similar? There's Lightning and USB ports all over the place. They're almost identical.
Yeah. And then with the exception of
Lightning
headset.
Has the ability to reconfigure his pins.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that could work, yeah.
You know, I posted the link. Because if you remember, you probably have one of these. Because it used to come with almost every gaming headphone back in the day.
Yeah, I have a couple of those.
It's gone to the little boy's room.
Ah, okay. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I think it will happen eventually simply because, they've removed it on one device and they will likely continue that trend at some point.
The thing that's screwed for them is they don't have control over Bluetooth. And if they had any help, like they would be able to send some engineers over to the Bluetooth consortium and be like, hey, let's fix the latency issues with Bluetooth. Because it's been out long enough for that not to be a thing anymore, but it's still a thing and it's kind of dumb.
No, doesn't work that way.
I'm in two minds at the moment because I see the validity of removing it, certainly for the purposes of waterproofing. I'd rather they were just honest about that. You know, we took this away because it made waterproofing far easier. Great, done and dusted. How many people use their iPhone for the purposes of audio production and will the delay matter? Probably none, so who cares? I listen to it for the purposes of exercise and that's the end of it. But I think if you suddenly start broadening that and I watched the 2012 or 2010 version of All Things D, and Jobs was talking about the fact, you know, we hitch our trailer to the technology which is ascending. We look at the thing that's going up, not the thing that's going down. So we walked away from floppies, we walked away from CDs. And I listened to him and I thought, okay, if you're modeling that on the 3.5mm jack, the 3.5mm jack is not an obsolete technology. Lightning is not an ascendant technology, therefore. I've got a real problem.
We can argue about whether 3.5 is not descending.
There's an awful lot of stuff that you know, 3.5mm is stronger in terms of connection to the device. It's ubiquitous in terms of the audio market, and therefore, you know, you are very much getting yourself into the garden of being the Apple technology rather than going beyond and over and above. And hitching yourself to an ascendant technology. I don't think that applies here. And I certainly don't think it applies when you're the world's largest firm.
Here's a funny thing about that. You're into photography, guys. We always get mad when you have to shoot audio with just that. We used to always want Canon to give us XLRs.
Sorry.
Sorry, but you know what I'm saying, right? Whenever every camera came out, especially pro cameras, we would get mad when there was an XLR missing because we, as sound people, I hate when I have to record audio with a 3-5 on a shirt, which is why we all own a Zune H4. Every single one of us owns a Zune H4. Not some of us, all of us.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I don't.
You don't count.
You don't count. Well, it doesn't count.
I heard that little mumbling, I don't, because I said people in video production of any sort, almost every single one, you're hard-pressed to find a dude that don't own a Zune H4. And if they don't, they have a Tascam D40, D70, D60, something that basically stops them way back from Beach Tech, right? That we Beach Tech made a killing out of selling an expensive box that basically just converted the 3.5mm to an XLR because we just wanted that. That XLR was the bomb, but it's too fat. Somebody just needs to make a skinny XLR so that we can get what we want without losing any audio quality.
So as an audiophile, then, Doc, are you saying that Apple is shooting up the wrong path here by trying to remove the 3.5mm? Or are you saying
not at all? I think it's the way to go because that gives you more opportunity for cleaner digital sound. I mean, as a person who's built their own DACs and stuff like that, I hate pretty much all analog audio with the exception of turntables just because I like that cracking sound, which is dumb. See, I
went for digital audio on all of the Skype wall, and I had to stop because the delay was just unbearable. I had to go back to analog because I went to go through a desk.
What were you using? Were you using USB or the FireWire stuff?
I was using FireWire, and I had to go back because I wanted to go through a desk. I couldn't go do any other route other than going back through a desk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because my desk is all FireWire, and I'm using the new Focusrite, the red thing, clarinet, whatever the hell it's called.
So let's be clear. I'm going through a pre-Sonus FireWire sound card from the desk. Don't get me wrong, but the problem that you have is that the delay from the computer is massive. And if you use the two port out, so it splits and goes to headphone and line in, that introduces more delay to it. And it gets beyond a frigging joke, let alone trying to go to a USB 3 sound card to five different machines. That isn't going to work when all you need is a 3.5mm jack. There is no logic in that whatsoever.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. The silence says it all. Yeah,
no, there is. There is.
The silence says it all.
I'll give you a logic as simple as put. Balance versus unbalanced. Like, I try to stay as far away from, you know, anything that's not going to give me a pure XLR experience. And I don't know, maybe it's ProSonus, the drivers, which they shouldn't need drivers, but they still do for some dumb reason.
No. Doc, if you forget about the ProSonus. The ProSonus and the desk work for perfectly fine. The problem I've got is every device...
Except when I'm on line two.
Yeah, but everything... yeah, except if you're on line two. Every device that I introduce thereafter introduces some delay. And so the Mac Minis that I've bought for the Skype wall out of the donations that everyone's kindly sent into us, thank you very much to those people I have got separate line in and headphone out. And if they didn't, I would have to use a splitter dongle. And the splitter dongle introduces delay, and it doesn't work. I've tried it with all the MacBooks. I've tried it with my MacBook Air. And in the end, I ended up wanting to throw it across the room. It was worse than Racist Line 2, mate. It was unbelievably bad.
Well, you know, it's funny. Crazy. I'm going to have to figure this out because you might be right. I just got the 5K iMac, and it only has a headphone port. It doesn't have an out port. So I'll try and move my stuff
does.
Over here.
But you've got to use a splitter dongle.
Yep.
And the splitter dongle is horrific. It's awful.
Oh, no doubt. I have to use that to DJ on my iPad, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And that's why I wanted a Lightning version out, because Lightning, I could have two disparate connections.
No, because the problem you've got is when you go to your Lightning, you've still got to have a splitter out from that, and that's what screws you.
But I'm saying the Lightning has the ability to calculate pins, so Lightning can calculate you two disparate pairs. Think of it as old school Ethernet when we used to twist wires.
You reckon?
Right? I know so. That's what Lightning does. That's why Lightning is so dope. No. It can actually, it only needs two pins for power. And the rest of the pins, they can calculate what they want to do when they want to do it, which is the reason why Lightning is kind of expensive because they have a chip in it. And that's what it does. Lightning recalculates pairs. So if you were to stick your thing into your phone, and let's just say your charging pin was dirty, right? For whatever reason, corrosion, salt water, whatever. Instead of saying it's not going to work on any Apple cable or Belkin cable, some of the good MFI stuff, it recalculates and it works. On all the cheap cables we buy from China, When you plug it in, it goes, oh, this doesn't work with this device because they don't have the chip in their end that lets it recalculate the pinout.
Move on to audio, and I'm with you. But how does that affect audio?
So if you have that as the output of an audio, say like the dongles you bought, right? And they could actually make one that you could plug into a lightning port that could give you 4 outs or some, maybe even 8 outs because it would it would pair the pins up to give you the 8 outs.
Doc, and I'm going to tell you why this is not. Because lightning is a digital signal. It sends a digital audio signal to the connector, and the connector then does the calculation. That's why the things are bigger and more complicated. It's not sending an audio signal out of the lightning port. It's sending a digital signal out.
I said it's a DAC, dude. You know DAC stands for digital audio converter.
Yeah, right. But it's not that's the point. It has to split it. It has to split it to multiple connections on the dongle, not in the phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that once out of the dongle,
that introduces delay. Yeah. I think that's Ewan's point.
I think lightning won't do it. I think lightning can do
it
faster.
I'm pretty sure it will.
It can't. The problem I've got is this is where the digital test is impossible for me. I have purchased, there we go, there are my dongles, and if you pull the thing, there we go, and pull them out, there we go, it's on a pack, and it's a short little cable, and it's great, and all that kind of stuff, but as far as I'm aware, there is no reason that this can't introduce delay, and that is an issue for me with audio.
Let me ask you a question, Ewan. Have you had the opportunity to try where on the Mac Mini, you take the Toslink out and feed that into the desk? There is no latency whatsoever.
I can't feed this from the Mac Mini because the Mac Mini hasn't got a lightning port.
No. I said Toslink, you know, like optical.
Yeah, so the thing I'm doing is trying to see whether... So here's the thought process. Flawed as it may be, I grant you I'm not an idiot. I'm not competent. I may be a complete idiot. I'm going to take this and shove it into an iOS 9 device. And if it works in an iOS 9 device, I'm going to do this before the end of the show. If it works in an iOS 9 device, then the conversion is taking place in the device. Therefore, this thing is not introducing the delay. If there is any, it's the device that's introducing delay. And that's my thought process.
That makes sense. So
I'm going to do that before the end of the show, but I'm at 6% on my iPad charge at the minute. It's got iOS 9 on it. There we go.
I don't see it on your Personas if I'm looking at the right one you have. But for instance, on my device, I have a Toslink input in the back. So what I do coming out of my Mac is instead of using the USB cable, you use the FireWire cable. You use the FireWire cable to set your mix and then you lock it. And I can store that to my Focusrite. Then I can disconnect it from the computer. So now it's just an audio board, right? I take the Toslink out of the back of the Mac Mini and feed it in because there's no delay, because that's just like setting up your home stereo, mate, setting up your DVD player or whatever. It has nothing to do with the Mac or any latency, so I don't have any latency on my board because I'm using the Toslink out of my board. And then if at any point in my board I decide I need another 8 channels, I can add another one just by sticking a Toslink cable in, an optical cable, or a SpeedIF, which is an RCA, and it's the same thing. So I'm thinking you can get rid of that delay if you come out of your Mac digitally into your desk, if your desk takes a digital input.
Okay, so here's the hot off the press. This device is not supported by OS 9. That's what that white box says right there. This device is not supported by OS 9. So that is the Apple dongle plugged into an OS 9 device. It is not supported by iOS 9.
It might still do it.
Okay, but it still works. Can you listen to it real quick? It might still work.
So let me press play then. It's not going to work, chaps. I promise you.
Yeah, it's not going to work right now. I get that. I was thinking whether Apple can update the iOS 9 software to officially support it.
I have silence. Utter silence. Yeah. So that is not supporting iOS 9. You've got to go to iOS 10 if that wants to work for you. And I think, therefore, that that's not the device that is doing the conversion, because that would work.
Yes.
The only thing that gets me, here's the thought process, guys. All of those developers who've been analyzing the code and all the rumors that have come out saying, oh, we've found this code deep in the base, there was a code that was telling you that this was only going to work on iOS 10, and no one's picked it up.
Doesn't mean that Apple can't update iOS 9 to support it.
No.
If they want to.
That'd be an interesting decision. I'm not going to say no, but I think that would be an interesting decision.
I mean, they could say, yeah, but it ships with the iPhone 7, and that comes with iOS 10, and that's why we don't need it. Which would be stupid, but yeah, okay.
Well, if they do the latter, Patrice, then that puts them on Douchebag Central 101 with a VIP card, red carpet, ropes, everything.
Yes, exactly.
Bottles of champagne.
Oh, so I can see them not doing that, because the point would be you can only run iOS 7 on... you can only run 7, the iPhone 7 on iOS 10. You can't run it on. You can't roll back and run it on iOS 9, so why bother?
That's what I said.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you said that was a bad move, and I don't think it is. Yeah. I think
it would be a bad
move. Well, no, people, it's a bad move PR-wise, because people are going to see, there's proof that they're just trying to get you for money. That thing will come out.
Interesting discussion. Anything? So let's talk about the AirPods. What do you think to the AirPods?
I'm in. I already got my gift cards reserved for it.
150 quid. I mean, I said it on the podcast that night. I thought 150 quid was the price point I would jump. And when they said it was 150 quid, I mean, done deal.
Yep. You know what's funny, though? A lot of people said, 150 quid, that's too expensive, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if you remember from way back before there was even an iPhone, when there was only iPods or even Walkman for that matter, whenever you went to go buy the first level of quote-unquote good headphones, it was always started at 150 and worked its way up. There was no such thing as quote-unquote good headphones that were under 150. Those were considered cheap headphones. And then we're talking back in a time where 150 was kind of expensive, right? Like your original Bose and all of that, Sennheiser, Ultimate Ears, who's no longer with us, Edemotix, like all of those brands, when they were just iPhone, they started at 150.
Yes, fair enough. They're only available in white at the moment. There's a mock-up about them coming in black, but there's no no authentication of that. They're white only.
If you lose it on the carpet in the dark, that would be super dumb. Like, at least with the white, you can find it. Like, if you drop that bugger in the grass at the black headphone, oh, hell no.
Right, so here's my cool thing ahead of time. I'm going to do this now because we're in the conversation of it. Do you remember that I got some ear molds made? They're a company called Emtec, E-M-T-E-C, and they're based in Shropshire. And I went over there and I had my ears molded, and they made some beautiful ear molds that fitted my ears perfectly. There's the right-hand one. I can't show you the left-hand one because it's green. See, it's invisible. There we go. So there's just the red one. Here we go. Now, I thought to myself, well, these are great. These are made for my Bose earphones. Would the AirPods fit in them? So here is my old EarPods, the exact ones that are going to fit. And they don't fit in my ears. They fall out like billio because they're crap. They're an awful set of headphones. Let's just be clear. But what's nice is they fit perfectly into my Emtec molds. And you can change the angle of them so that they point exactly down the ear canal and they fit in. So if you're going to buy some AirPods, go to Emtec and get yourself some ear mold made. And I'm afraid, chaps, you can have them in that because they're identical in terms of size. They're beautiful. How's that? You know you're jealous.
There's a company here in the U.S. that does that. And I have a pair that we got way back in TUAW days. They were a Kickstarter, but they were just a small little $10 silicone jacket that you can slip over ear pods. And actually, I believe one of my very first shows on here, I put them as a pick because they were good and cheap. And all just that silicone does is it allows it to stick in your ear proper, like, and they're relatively cheap covers. I'll find you a link for them in a second. So I think that, you know, all this worry about losing them, like all my friends are like, oh, I'm going to lose those in a week. And I'm like, why don't you just try being an adult and not losing your crap?
I'll challenge you on that because they don't fit in my ears, dog. They would fall out in a heartbeat in my ears. Yeah, I'm sorry, mate.
If they are anything like the EarPods, then same for me. They've never really fitted.
In terms of fit, the EarPods are shit.
Mine don't fit unless I use a silicone jacket. But once I put that silicone jacket on, it works fantastic.
If you're over 7, they don't fit. um, uh,
I got to say, though, my one comment on the AirPods is that, you know, everybody's been talking about, oh, you're going to lose the Apple AirPods, but you never hear anybody saying anything about losing their Samsung little earbuds, wireless earbuds that they've got. So
I've never lost my PowerBeats, so.
Well, so I lose a set of wired earphones on a weekly basis almost. I'm not having it. That's a valid comment anyway.
Okay, good.
So I turn up at the I turn at the train station at 5:20 in the morning. I've got a train in 20 minutes, and I pat my pocket down. Oh crap! I forgot my earphones. I need an earphone, which is why I've bought five of these, because they're going to go in every bag I own, so that I've always got one with me, because I'm crap.
I'll probably do the same. That thing we were talking about is called ear skins. They're only like, you know, $10 for a pair. But now there's a bunch of guys that make various ones. You know the little hooky one like Sennheiser and Bose have? You can even buy the little hooky covers for like $5 that you just slip onto a pair of earpods and then make it stay. So if you're worried about losing it, there's a bunch of really nice third-party stuff out there that you can just slip on and give you with what Ewan's talking about. But I would prefer to do what Ewan did and get them molded, because I just have odd-shaped ears.
It's well worth it. I mean, Batwing says, no offense, but it looks like you've put Play-Doh on your earphones. but that's the whole point. I mean, they are absolutely, they are rigid plastic that are fitted to my ears. And if I just demonstrate here by taking that earphone out, that is an absolute perfect fit for my ear canal. And they don't go anywhere. And when I'm cycling, I know damn well that actually they're not going to go anywhere. There's no way I'd cycle with these earpods. The Apple ones, original ones, they just don't stay in. They come out in a heartbeat. They're crap. They're utter shit. They're a positively negative excuse for an earphone. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Third party like cheap Lightning headphones are already popping up.
Yep.
On Amazon.
As well as the
$42 for some weird knockoff stuff.
As well as the something but louds that you mentioned.
Yeah, junk below.
This podcast and all the others are supported by UK2. We'd be lost without them. They've got a fantastic server that powers us every single week. If you're listening to us on a podcast, you're listening to us thanks to UK2. So please, please, please support them. Go to britishcinetic.com/sponsors and you'll see all of the offer codes that are there for UK2. Or if you're just signing back into your account because you're already a customer, go to britishcinetic.com/UK2 and we get the kudos for having sent you back. Okay, so please take the time to support them because they support us. And without them, we couldn't afford to do this podcast. The bandwidth is immense. We've got 20,000 to 25,000 downloads of this podcast alone every single week. So you know, we just couldn't afford the bandwidth for that if we didn't. The server that we have is worth over £1,000 a year. It's superb. And there's the live feed as well as UK2 support that too. So please support them. Wonderfully. And also please support Hoya. I have my new glasses on. Here we go. See, these are my new Hoya specs. Don't they look gorgeous?
Sexy.
Yes, they're nice.
They're gorgeous. Muller's got some as well. He's got top loaders on, which are the ones that have only got the single point of attachment on the top. And yeah, he looks all right in those. Not too badly Ronnie Cray, but a little bit. Please support Hoya. Go to podcasts@hoya.co.uk. Send him an email. Say, I want to get fitted for Hoya specs. If you go and get fitted, you go through the whole process. You get the iPad thing. You get the virtual reality glasses that go on that show you where you're looking around and how they will look with your prescription in them. If at the end of that you go, do you know what? I don't really want them. That's fine. Hoya are okay with that. You just walk away and that's the end of it. That's all you've got to do. And if you're not, just walk into your local optician and go, excuse me, have you got Hoya lenses? And if they go, no, just say, oh, that's a shame, and walk away. Because it works brilliantly. Because that's what Hoya do. They do great, great lenses. Please support them. Because again, they supported us. They gave us one of the Mac Minis for the Mac Mini wall. So we do appreciate their support. It's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
All right. So maybe this one is kind of a tip slash thing and then a pick. So I've always wanted this for more than a year. And I always thought it was dumb that it didn't exist. Well, it does exist now. I got one for my birthday from my buddy Jerome Kohler, so thank you for that. But you can get Apple Music gift card for $99 rather than pay the stupid $9 a month. And this breaks it down to $8.25 a month, which is a little bit of a discount. They also added education price for students, so students are like $5 a month. But I just always hated the fact that, you know, you got to pull a tenner every month. I'd rather just give them the money once and be done with it, and I don't have to like pay attention to yet another transaction in my you know, bank account, since I don't store all this money in a checking account. And so you can now, as of early September, buy a 1-year annual subscription gift card. They're available at the Best Buys and the Walmarts and the Tesco's and the Apple Store and PayPal.com. The story was released by this dude named Jeff Gamet. You guys might have heard of him. So I'll put the link in the chat, but there's a good one. Now, for my actual pick rather than a tip, I just got this because of the early Kickstarter thing, but they are for pre-sale right now. If you do any photo shooting of smaller items, like things you might put by on the store, I just got the Foldio 360, which is a iPhone-controlled turntable that allows you to put your products on there. Nice. And then as you put the products on there, you press the app, it takes the pictures, and it does the full round robin, and it gives you a 360 image that you can then in turn post, you know, on your various sites and whatever, and it's already fully functional. It does the stitching and everything.
That looks that looks a lot bigger than the ones that have been out there before, because normally the ones that are out there before do about kind of 10 centimeters across at best.
No, this one is super dope. And I'm gonna send you a picture of one of the things that I posted, if I can find it on this dang site. But what's really cool about it is all the stitching and everything happens in your phone. Now, if you are the type of person that would want to shoot, say, with a 35 mil, you can, because it will send that via infrared instead. You know what I mean? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so with the infrared version, it basically triggers your camera, and this thing is just super badass. Let me send you a link to this image that I took.
$233, so it's not breaking the bank.
Actually, it's $119 if you already have a photo booth, because I have the original Foldio photo booth. You can use any photo booth if you want. Their photo booth is dope because it folds down into a little, like, plastic milk carton-esque briefcase, which is really easy to carry around. So you can get it as a whole kit, or you can get it just as a turntable if you already have, like, a dedicated, you know, post-up. So yeah, this thing is amazing.
If you're in the UK, do bear in mind that thanks to the Brexit moorings, that's probably $250 when it's finished. I couldn't afford that. It'd be good if it did STL files, mate. That would be awesome. Scan to STL.
Oh, God. That would be super awesome.
There's
hopefully
be
somebody will figure out
to do scan to STL.
Way to do
it. Oh, MakerBot have already done it, haven't they?
With the phone, you can make STLs with the phone.
There is a scanner system that works with the phone that does STL file output.
Shut up! I don't find that.
Yeah, need to find that because it does work. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much, Steve. Sandy, do you have a cool thing? You've been very quiet tonight, mate. You all right?
Well, I'm just fine. I'm just
thought you'd listen to Doc rant.
I'm always in awe of Doc and you and Patrice. So yeah, what can I say there? But this is really kind of an odd item. I've been sitting here with this. This is also on Kickstarter right now. This is called a fidget cube. It is non-electronic. It's designed to just let you, you know, if you're sitting there watching something or in a meeting and you're bored with whoever's speaking, you can play with this thing, and it's got a bunch of little switches you can do. Now, you'd think that something like this probably wouldn't get all that much attention on Kickstarter. The two guys who were behind it, I've actually met, they're here in the Denver area, and they were looking for $15,000 to bring this thing to market. As of a few seconds ago, they're now at $4.2 million and over 100,000 backers. So
it works then.
It works. Yeah, it's great. It's the type of thing, like I said, when I'm on a phone call or doing something like that, I could just sit here and play around with this. And
it does nothing. It doesn't link to anything. It's just a button that...
Absolutely. And Batwench brings up a really good point. She says, I knew a lot of ADHD students who would work so well with. They tend to be fiddlers, need something to do with their hands. Excellent idea. Got the same comment from Mac Mommy. She's got, I think, a ADHD child. And it's incredible how much reaction. I was talking with Matthew McLaughlin through email, one of the developers of this. These guys have done tech projects before, and they've done okay, but $4.2 million. They've got 34 days to go in their Kickstarter campaign. It's a very cool little device. So that's my choice for the week.
Have you guys never heard...
This is, hold on, wait. I just discovered something I didn't know. This is Mac McVicker. He lives in Hawaii.
No, this is Matt McLaughlin.
He's in Portland now, but he used to live in Hawaii. Him and Jeff Block, they both used to live here. That is super funny.
These guys are in Denver.
They used to hang out in my co-working space.
Wrong people.
So
Rob, looking at his picture.
You guys have never heard of an Irish worry stone?
Yeah, it's got a worry stone part to it right there.
Yeah. So all you need is an Irish worry stone. That's all. That's just rub your thumb in it and it's done.
This is higher tech.
Yeah, right. Buy yourself a worry stone. You get them on Amazon. They're about $2. Well, they might not be. There might be more than that, but okay. But I like this. This is good. This is good. Definitely. I like the idea of the fidgeting. If you're saying, well, hang on, you know, is this podcast any good? I've got a few people who've written to us. Thank you very much. First one I'll mention is Barry. Barry, you're a bastard, because Barry said, Ewan, since you've cropped away the part of your beard here that goes between your moustache and your goatee, have you noticed how much you look like Colonel Sanders? Thanks, Barry. Bastard. The other one is Borough Barrister, who said, I reviewed this podcast originally in 2015 and gave it 5 stars, but did criticise the amount of banned language. Having kids, I was limited to where I could listen to it. That's been toned down. The podcast is one I listen to every week. The panel of guests range from the fanboy to the critic, so it means Apple products and others are properly discussed and debated. If you're listening to us thinking that you're a fanboy and we don't discuss it properly, move on, because I'm sorry, we're going to keep Apple honest all the way that we can. With a great panel chaired by Ewan and regulars like Adam, Patrice and Doc, you're not a regular at that point, by the way, but you would have been, honestly. I've learned a vast amount about OS X and macOS, iOS, and features I wouldn't have any knowledge of. The discussions are lively, informative and sometimes heated, although like many groups of mates, they never fall out. The weekly cool things are also excellent, although it can be a threat to my bank balance with games, hardware and suggestions to keep the fanboy happy. I fully recommending this podcast and also the big show for non-Apple Tech. And thanks also to Sir Foodles, who said this is the Marmite of Apple Tech podcasts, a suitably irreverent romp through ruminating on things of Apple nature, a varied selection of hosts telling it as they see it. Usually informative, but frequently entertaining. I also often have this as the Tweetbot notifications and Skype sounds in the background are something that any podcast could wish for. I do apologise for that, but we've done our best to solve that problem. Cheers. If you've got a review for us, please do leave it on iTunes, because it makes a world of difference to our rankings in iTunes. Please, 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 either give us a review or renew your review, and it makes a massive difference. Patrice, what have you got for us as a cool thing, sir?
I have something that maybe is a little bit nerdy, or at least it requires some, I would say, server knowledge. If you are, like me, a little bit fed up with Dropbox constantly annoying you to buy business, whether you want it and need it or not, or just Dropbox not working as well as they used to, there's an open source alternative called OwnCloud. And it is available, I think, for Linux and also as a Mac app, as far as I know, the server part. The client part, like Dropbox, is available for basically all platforms. And what's really nice is, I mean, the setup was super easy for me. I mean, basically installed the package on my server I already have, opened the browser, and it was up and running. There was no other setup required. Installed the client app. It basically had the links right there after I logged in first. It had the links right there. Downloaded it, started it, worked like Dropbox. The cool thing is that you can really configure it way more. I mean, you can add functionality like calendar sync, notes, mail, contacts, and many, many, many more apps to it. And it just works. From my experience, it doesn't look as nice in certain areas, but it works way better than Dropbox right now, at least for me.
I got to say, I dropped out of Dropbox this year for the yeah. Power account, and their response was, oh, well, see ya. They don't give a shit anymore. They really are
exactly.
a bad firm.
And that's, I just cancelled it, so same for me.
Yeah,
didn't care. They didn't care.
As I said, my real cool thing is the fact that MTEC, E-M-T-E-C, will make you a moldable earplug in Shropshire that will fit into your ears. You can get them fitted anywhere you like, and they'll work with your AirPods, so there we go. But Muller has a cool thing. So I decided to get out his Casio FX350. Here we go. Do you remember that? You know you had one of these, boys. Oh. A Casio FX350 calculator.
Patrice didn't.
No, Patrice might not be old enough for this. The calculator...
Looks familiar.
The calculator... Well, how old are you, Patrice?
31.
Okay, 31. This calculator is 40 years old.
Okay.
As of today.
Maybe my mom had one.
Muller got it for his birthday, right? And guess what? That battery. Oh no! That battery is 40 years old. It's the same battery he got on the day that he was given it. Right? Are you ready? This is impressive. And if you own anything that's Casio, this should give you heart, because you switch it on, and it works.
Wow!
That's a 40-year-old calculator running a 40-year-old battery that still works. On the day that Muller's birthday this week. That's why we've got it. So happy birthday, Muller. Thank you very much, mate, for bringing it in. But that is Muller's birthday present 40 years ago when he was 16.
Oh, this is wow. Kind of messed up to know this. Muller, when's your birthday?
It was 2 days ago.
2 days ago, but...
Shit, same as me? Are you joking?
Really?
I took my A-levels with that.
No, hell no. I'm going to kill myself right now. I'm going to do live on live suicide. You guys ready?
You ready? So Muller has got... Happy birthday, Doc.
And the international dateline. What actual date?
What's the actual date of your birthday?
13th of September.
13th.
Okay. I'm 12. Okay.
Woo! Woo! There we go. But yes! You can't soften the blow because Manchester United still lost tonight. Bad luck, mate.
While we're sending in shout-outs, let's send a happy birthday to Mike Rowe. This is right before us on last Friday.
We'll be back again next week with all of the news and rumours that there are the week after an Apple keynote, which will be zero. We'll find out who's got their phone and who hasn't, which could be zero. And we'll find who's happy with the new phone that they've got and their new watch, which could be zero too. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Not getting a phone until October.
Yeah. I got October 4th to 10th, dude. So
mine's coming tomorrow, but it's not the color I wanted.
Well, so apparently the 128s and the 5...
Get black.
The 128s and the 5, the 258s are the separation. If you bought the 128, you struggled. If you bought the 256, you're in. Because hardly any of the 256 went.
128.
October.
Yep.
128 rose gold.
128 rose gold, because no one likes rose gold, Patrice.
Yeah, it could be, yes.
128 silver.
I
should have went rose gold because I got 256 regular black because they wouldn't let me get jet black. Jet black was talking about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, jet black. Yeah. You won't get me that before the 8. So I can't stand the black front, the white front rather. I love the black front. I cannot stand the white fronted. I've got a champagne iPad Pro. I hate the white front. I want a black bezel.
Mm.
So.
Well, that's silver. That's got black bezel.
I'm just going to have to get a case or something that'll cover up that white bezel. I agree.
I hate the white bezel.
I don't.
I loathe the white bezel.
The only thing I like about the white bezel, because I've had it for the last year, is in the night when your phone is on the floor, it's much easier to find your floor. I mean, your phone. Because I will oftentimes have it in my hand and fall asleep with it in my hand, and it'll go to the floor and, you know, tussling.
Hashtag Doc Watson.
That is a podcast by itself. I go to sleep at night with it in my hand.
Yes.
Oh my God!
I'll be clipping that, Doug. Yeah, you'll be wishing there was delay on this edit. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, I give up. Just tap out.
What I can't get over is Adam. Now he's been on the BBC, Adam's bailed out of this podcast because he thought it was going to be contentious and he would hate it and it would wreck his reputation, I'm sure.
I wrecked it years ago.
Well, he's Mr. BBC now, isn't he? That's it.
Yeah.
Mr. Pinker.
He was good. I've got to say, he was good on Tech Tent. I really quite enjoyed his piece. He was excellent.
He's too good for us.
He's a proper journalist. He won't come on here anymore. That's it. Done.
Well, Steve came. So.
Yeah, no, Steve's a proper journalist and he comes on. Andy Knack is a proper journalist and he comes on. But yeah. now, but neither of them have been on the BBC, which Adam has, so that puts him way.
No.
He's like galactic in terms of stellarism. Yeah. He's like a grade A. A-list radio man.